If money affects your life in any way, Money Making Sense will talk about it. Be financially healthy, wealthy, and wise. Here's your host, Heather Kelly.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we're talking about the cost of adult bullying in the workplace. And joining me today is Ariel Windling. He is the founder and CEO of Hashtag Not Me. I also have LeBaron Myers, who is the president and CBO of Hashtag Not Me. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So Ariel, I guess I'll start with you. You founded this movement or company called Hashtag Not Me. First of all, what is that? Why Hashtag Not Me? And why did you found it?
I founded Hashtag Not Me because I was very much inspired by the Me Too movement back in 2017. I am very familiar with misconduct, including bullying, not because I'm French, but because I am an employment lawyer. I've been practicing in the U.S. for 15 plus years, and I've been advising companies for many of those years about issues in the workplace, you know, wage and hour issues, sexual harassment, discrimination, so on and so forth. And back in 2017, when Me Too started, I realized that the way companies and employees were dealing with misconduct was not really working at all, except for the lawyers, whether they were on the plaintiff or defense side. And I decided to use my expertise to try to create a solution that would really help and benefit both the employers and the employees, but with the focus, a special focus on employees. So Hashtag Not Me Today is a tech platform that allows anyone, wherever their place of power in the company, to report misconduct, bullying, discrimination, harassment, racism, whatever the issue might be. They can use the Hashtag Not Me app that they can upload or download on the App Store or the Google Play Store to let us know that they have been either the victim or the witnesses of misconduct in the workplace.
And LeBaron, how did you get involved?
Yeah, so it was about 2 years ago. I was speaking on a Women in Tech panel, and Ariel was in the audience and approached me right after the panel before I stepped down. And the irony is, you know, he stepped forward very excited about his idea and told me, and my own biases came up. Here was this white French male lawyer who wanted to really help prevent discrimination, bullying, harassment, all of these things. And I said, sure, we can meet and talk over coffee. And I really went into it pretty skeptical until I saw what he had created and also understood his expertise, which is critical because he truly knows the ins and outs and the whole legal system behind it. And my background was really varied. I've been in multiple industries, investment management, radio, media, tech, all of them being male dominated. All of them, I'm receiving great opportunities in each, but also experiencing various things and having friends and colleagues who had as well. So I was really interested in what he was doing. I think it made a lot of sense in bringing the technology as a way of tackling a problem that has been in existence forever. And what I very quickly realized is not only has misconduct been around for a long time, we've been using the exact same tools for years, if not decades, and expecting different results, which is literally the definition of insanity. And what we've done is really to take away all the barriers to reporting so people can much more easily and earlier speak up, which is great for the individual to prevent them going down this path of things getting worse, and incredibly important for the employers because currently they don't hear anything until late. And so by then all the damage is done. And with our product, employers really get the information earlier. So we're very much about prevention instead of punishment and about course correction instead of late stage cleanup. So it's really a win-win, and it bridges the gap of trust and communication between employees and employers.
Because when bullying or harassment first started coming into society's purview, I would say that would have been about the early 70s. And then that's when HR departments started to come around. And the thing is that human resource departments, yes, they are supposed to be there to help employees, But part of their job description is to protect the company. And so especially very early on, the first 15, 20 years, at least I would say, if I had been harassed and I went to my HR department, chances are they would try to just make sure no lawsuit happened, no bad news came out about the company that this was going on, and they would shift me around, take me somewhere else and even give me lower pay than get rid of the bullier.
That's very true.
How is it with your tools, the hashtag not me? Is this a way to circumvent the HR departments, or do you work in concert with them?
It can be both, actually, because what you just described is very true. The system as they exist right now in companies with HR being involved has not been designed to facilitate a speak-up culture. Nothing has been done until us to see an employee reporting as an opportunity and not a liability. You're absolutely right in saying that if you would have gone to HR, most likely you would have been either reassigned or maybe you would have been forced to leave the company, because in companies today, when an employee speaks up, most of the time when someone says something, the HR department or the in-house lawyers will call their outside lawyers, and they go on an attack on the employee, trying to discredit him, trying to attack his performance, trying to document everything, making sure everything is documented to protect the company. What we need to do, and what we're trying to do with Not Me, to flip things on their head, and we are doing two things. We have an app that allows anyone to easily report something, but we also give a tool through a very sophisticated yet very simple dashboard to employers so they can course correct, see what's happening in real time, communicate with their employees, even if the reporting has been done anonymously, because we believe that companies cannot course correct if they don't know what's happening. So preventing misconduct starts with the reporting. We spent a lot of time and effort in making sure that we provide the best reporting tool that exists on the market. I think we've accomplished that. And we want to make sure that we can reduce the trust gap that exists between employers and employees.
And for the HR department specifically, to your question, I think, you know, a lot of HR professionals have really been put in a tough position, exactly with the question, the way you posed it. They're being paid by the company to protect both the company and the employees. And so part of the struggle is because of the stage at which they're finding things out. So when they're finding things out so late, at that point, no one really gets to come with their best self and a best solution, because it does become this quick, like, put the fire out at all costs. And so what we have provided by allowing employees to much more easily speak up earlier, now the HR team actually has this ability to build or rebuild the trust that's been broken by being able to get in front of these issues, thank people for speaking up, do something about it, so that it's not this, okay, who's going down? You know, it's not who's getting fired or who's getting moved out of the department. It's more like, okay, what's the issue? And how can we work with it? How can we deal with it? And how can we make sure we all learn from it and make the culture better for it?
I'll add one more point. I've been working with HR for 15 years, and I have a lot of friends in HR. They're great people. But I think what the companies have done, which is to ask HR to deal with misconduct issue, is not very fair for them, because it creates this tension that exists and that you have described between their job to protect the companies and their job to protect the employees as well. So with Not Me, and when we give the tool to companies, not only HR can be involved, but also we can add compliance. We can add CEOs behind the dashboard. We can add many other stakeholders. So dealing with misconduct does not solely and exclusively become an issue for HR to deal with.
This is a great place to take a break. When we come back, we're going to delve into what does bullying or harassment mean to not only the company's bottom line, but your own personal pocket. If you're a worker, if you're the one being harassed, what does that do to your pocketbook? And we'll be right back with Ariel Weindling. He is the founder and CEO of Hashtag Not Me, and LeBaron Myers, president and CBO of Hashtag Not Me.
Thank you. 2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that if it affects your life in any way, we're talking about it. And today we're talking about adult bullying in the workplace. And what does that cost to yourself and maybe to the company as well? Joining me is LeBaron Myers. She is president and CBO of Hashtag Not Me, and also Ariel Windling. He is the founder and CEO of Hashtag Not Me. The last segment, we broke down how HR departments can use Hashtag Not Me to help in identifying harassment or bullying issues sooner than they normally would. But I want to go into what is the cost of that, and also maybe talk a little bit about what is bullying and harassment, especially right now. We're in a pandemic. Most people who work in an office, they're not actually seeing their coworkers anymore. They're not face to face with them. But that doesn't mean that the bullying has gone away.
You're absolutely right. Bullying can be present even when you're working from home. So to give you just a broad definition of what I think bullying is really any verbal abuse, intimidation, humiliation, and sabotage that can take place in the workplace. So it's a manager screaming in front of everybody to one of his colleagues. It's the person that is being excluded from a meeting solely, really for no reason, just because the manager doesn't like her or him. That's generally what is bullying. And when you think about it, it's not something we should accept or tolerate in the workplace, because when you show up to work, the only thing you want really is to do good work and to be treated with respect and dignity. You know, companies and employers do have a right to expect good performance and good work from their employees. What they shouldn't do is to be disrespectful of their team members. And so bullying on itself is problematic for various reasons, but sometimes it can also be unlawful, especially if the victim is being targeted because of his or her protected class. It can be because of her race, because of her gender, or gender identity, or any of these protected classes.
And bullying is like harassment, like discrimination, like racism. All of these are some form of power abuse. So when you ask about, well, right now we're in a pandemic, a lot of people are working remotely, how is it still happening? You know, we've heard stories over Slack or over Zoom, or because the reason is what we're talking about is making the workplace safer, both physically and psychologically. So even though people might not be sharing the same physical workspace as they were pre-COVID, they are still having interactions. There's still always a medium by which people can do things psychologically. So it definitely still exists. It's just through different mediums.
We had a pretty high-profile case of this recently. The Salt Lake City Commission, I can't remember which one, but it's either the Salt Lake City School Board or the commission, one of the parents requested all of their transcripts from meetings because she had some concerns. And the transcripts that came out, there was a lot of backbiting, swear words. There was one member of this council that was excluded from several meetings because he held a different view from three or four of the others. So they were trying to coordinate their efforts without this person. That is definitely a form of intimidation, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know if it was the city council or the school board, but whichever it was, they should speak with us because we would love to help them make sure that there is no more bullying or misconduct in their workplaces.
one of the things about bullying, a lot of people do like to, I don't know if they like to or if it's just subconscious, they put it in place of school. And that's true. That's where it starts, right? With young kids, bullying, cyberbullying, online, offline, that's what's happening these days. But that's going on literally at every level, whether it be young, whether it be high school, whether it be college, and it moves right into the workplace. Bullies are usually people who have an insecurity and are using a power abuse in a way that they shouldn't. And that doesn't go away unless they've, you know, done their inner work and are growing up. So we're seeing this happen. And to the point of your show, now we're seeing how it is affecting both individuals and companies in terms of their pocketbook, because once you get into the work world, that behavior, as hurtful and devastating as it is young, has its own devastations and hurts later on. So it's really relevant throughout life, and we're seeing that.
So if I am being harassed or bullied by one of my coworkers, how would that affect me in terms of the amount of money I may or may not be making at my company?
It would impact you personally, mostly on an emotional level, on a psychological level, but it may, as a result of the abuse, it may also affect you physically. So, you know, impact on your self-esteem, less motivation to go to work, maybe a desire to not go to work, you know, taking a leave, being absent from work. When you're absent from work, people don't see you. You don't work. Sometimes you don't get paid if you don't work. Sick days are limited in the U.S. depending on the state in which you work. So missing work, missing opportunities to get promoted. And if you are being bullied by your manager, you will not likely get promoted. So, you know, you look at all this that can happen and you clearly see that you have to face a big hurdle in order to make more money in your workplace, even when you're not losing money as a result of the bullying.
And you look, there's an entire industry. I mean, it's probably one of the most important things right now for companies and competing for talent is about how do we have a healthy culture. And that's not just because they want to be the coolest, and that obviously exists. You see this in big tech companies, very cool atmospheres that keep people wanting to come to work. But there's also a ton of research about the fact that when people feel safe physically, psychologically, when they feel appreciated, when they feel healthy physically and psychologically, they perform better. So this is, and the stats on what happens when a bully is in a team, there's a lot of stats on how much money that can cost, you know, the company. I think the average for a lawsuit right now is $300,000, and that can be as little as $5,000, as high as $1 million. And obviously it depends, but we're talking about some really big numbers on the employer side of what they're losing if it goes to that level. But again, on the employee side, all of these things that companies are putting into place to have a healthy culture, you have a bully or you're enabling a bully in your workplace, and it's completely counterproductive, incredibly costly, because you're taking away from the environment of each of those individual employees and therefore their output, which definitely affects your bottom line. It's all connected.
And I would say if the bullying is bad enough, and for whatever reason, maybe the employees aren't reporting it, if they are leaving on a regular basis, the ones who get harassed, then the company is constantly training, hire, you know, they have to put out time to interview new people, get them trained up to speed, and then all of a sudden they leave because you've got somebody that's a bullier on your team. And if you're constantly...
The cost of attrition.
Yeah, and if you're constantly doing that, that costs a company a lot of money.
You're absolutely right. And if you add on top of that, you know, bullying that can be done, that can be unlawful because someone was the target of bad behavior because of a race, for example, you know, at the time you would spend as an employer in litigation, paying a lawyer, defending the position, answering to discovery requests, it becomes very, very costly. And if I may say one tip to your audience, I mean, really, about not being the victim or the witness of bullying or misconduct really starts with reporting it if you see it and reporting it early. And I want to tell you, audience, that the Not Me team is here to help. There is the Not Me app that can be downloaded on the App Store or the Google Play Store. You can submit a report in under 3 minutes and you will get help. So if any person on your audience is now facing bullying, harassment or discrimination in their workplace, and needs help, they should not be shy and they should reach out we would be happy to help them and assist them with their situation.
And also, one of the things that people don't talk about enough is that if someone does not report, whether you experience it or you witness it, there's damage that can be done there, right? Not only can the behavior continue to the person who's receiving it, but it can be very detrimental to a person who witnesses it and doesn't do anything. And the opposite is true. To have something happen or to witness something happen and to take the time to report is incredibly empowering and much healthier for you. So you're really making a choice either way, and one of them is much more clearly healthy for yourself and others.
We need to take one more quick break. When we come back, I want to touch on the cost of the bullier. What happens with the bullier in the workplace? So we'll be right back with Ariel Weindling, the founder and CEO of Hashtag Not Me, and LeBaron Myers, president and CBO of Hashtag Not Me. Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. We're talking about the cost of adult bullying today in the workplace. Joining me is LeBaron Myers. She is the president and CBO of Hashtag Not Me, and Ariel Weindling, who founded Hashtag Not Me, and he's also the CEO. I want to talk about the bullier. How is his or her behavior affecting the company?
So the bullier or the bully, his behavior is impacting the company tremendously, depending on many things. I mean, I don't think that there is an answer that can fit all. It really is on a case-by-case basis for most companies. This is what I know from my experience as, again, I don't know for audience, I can say that I've been practicing employment law for 15 plus years, and it is really an analysis that needs to be done on a case-by-case basis. Typically, if the bully is a manager, his behavior can have tremendous impact, financial impact and cost to the companies, because as a manager, he's liable. I mean, the company is liable for the conduct of a manager. So the cost can be tremendous, you know, settlement payment, lawsuit, litigation, cost can be really high. Sometimes also, if the bully is the moneymaker, companies will want to protect that because it brings them money. And for many, many years, bullies in the workplace have been relying on the fact that people were not speaking up. People were not going to report them because of the status that they knew they hold in the company. But things are changing. Times are bringing change. And with tools like Hashtag Not Me, reporting of misconduct is very easy and very safe. So people are speaking up more and more. And people get the help they need with us to deal with those type of issues.
Does being a bully affect their product? Like, you know, as an employee, if I'm being bullied and I'm feeling emotionally distraught, I may not do my work as well as I could. If you are the person doing the harassment, if you are the bully, does that affect how well you do your work?
Generally, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that question, actually. I don't know.
I believe yes, and I'll tell you, I think we're seeing it on some extreme levels. If we look at, you know, one of the differences with bullying compared to some other things in terms of discrimination, and sometimes those are subconscious. Sometimes people are doing things that are hurtful and exclusionary and are not even aware of it. But bullying has an intent, a power intent to harm in a way. And when someone is enabled to do something that is harmful and is continually enabled, often what we see is the brink of the lesson, it becomes bigger and the downfall is further. If you look at the Weinsteins, the Matt Lauers of the world, the Bill Cosbys, people knew what these people were doing and they were being protected to some extent because of the immediate money. But for the long term, for the sustainability, for everyone else's mindset, not only is it clearly affecting them, hurting their performance, hurting their, you know, ability to be their best at work, those people are eventually falling, right? There is less of a tolerance for that. They are being called out, whether it be with Not Me or something else, those conscious power abusers, and that fall is great. And so actually, the longer an employer hides or enables a bully, the bigger the downfall. We have seen entire brands, entire companies come to a collapse because it reveals the fact that they have not only allowed this bully, they've actually enabled the bullying. So I think the tolerance and the forgiveness and the compassion toward a company or a brand becomes much less when people realize that they were aware of what was happening and they were endorsing it by doing nothing to stop it.
But the question either was really good because I still don't have the answer. is the performance of the bully himself or herself being affected? I don't know if Harvey Weinstein or Matt Lauer were doing poor job when they were let go because of their abuse. I don't know. It's a really good question. Someone should look into that.
Well, maybe I'll start bullying people and see how my job performance goes. not really. All right. To wrap things up, what can you advise people or companies that they need to be aware of? Just a couple of tips to help everybody's bottom line, whether it's people coming into work with a smile, being happy, and a company's bottom line.
I think first and foremost, we all need to realize we play a part in this. Whether you're someone who's just going to work every day and you're not receiving any mistreatment, but you're witnessing it, or if you're someone who is receiving that mistreatment, what can you do? Or if you're someone who's doing it, I think what you need to do is pretty clear. But what we've created with hashtag not me is the ability for anyone and everyone, regardless of your position, your role of power, how long you've been at the company, it does not matter. If something is to happen to you or something that you witness, it is in your power and incredibly empowering to download the app. It takes less than 3 minutes to report right from your phone, either using your name or anonymously, again, whether you experience it or you witness it. And you speak up. You just do something to let it be known that what just happened wasn't okay. And then you go about your workday. And for the employers, it's time to put action behind the words. We have never seen a time like we have right now where companies on LinkedIn and in places are making these big statements about what they stand for, what their values are, but we are not seeing a lot of action to back it up. By subscribing to Not Me, it's a huge action that you are showing your employees, and it's fantastic for your bottom line. It is literally saying it's time for a speak-up culture, it's time to help crowdsource a better company, and it's time to just get better as we go. No one's going to get this right all the time, right? We have to have a little bit of leeway for mistake, and that's what this is about. Speak up when something's wrong so we can all learn from it and make it better. It's not about punishment. It's not about coming down on anyone. It's about really making the workplace better and safer, both physically and psychologically for everyone.
Ariel, any last thoughts?
No, I think she said it perfectly well.
Thank you so much, Ariel Weindling. Again, you are the founder and CEO of Hashtag Not Me and LeBaron Myers, president and CBO of Hashtag Not Me. Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's H-K-E-L-L-Y at ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.